Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today, starting our reviews of Best Picture nominees with The Banshees of Inisherin, directed by Martin McDonagh. The story about two friends. One friend says, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And that's how the movie plays out. So
it don't follows... give away the plot.
That's not the whole plot, but that's...
I'm joking.
You figured that out from the trailer. Yeah, it is very simple. So we'll talk about that today on the show, get into details on that. Of course, we have some recommendations for you as well coming up. But first, starting with news, the big news that we found out yesterday is, when we're recording this, is that Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and formerly of the New England Patriots announced his retirement for a second time. He announced his retirement last year. I'm pretty sure we talked about that on the podcast at that time. So,
we did. Much to my chagrin.
He's announced his retirement again. So he might be done now. I don't know. We'll wait and see, I guess. So,
if anyone was wondering, I still loathe Tom Brady. Sorry. Shout out to my friend Amanda, who I love so much. I know she listens to the podcast. It's the one thing we vehemently disagree on are the Patriots and Tom Brady. But I still think he's a piece of crap. But I heard some hot goss, Jared, that of related. Now, this could be a loadable hunky. Who knows? But some people said that they're going to approach him to see if he would be the next Bachelor.
Like, really? Okay.
Yes, because the franchise is dying. It's literally on its last leg, which brings me to my other piece of hot news. I am not watching the season of The Bachelor because so boring from the trailer. I was like, honestly, I have just too much to live for right now and I can't. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. I wouldn't watch it because I hate him, but interesting thought. I also don't know that he would do that, especially after a high profile divorce from one of the hottest women in the entire world.
Yeah.
I just don't think he would do it.
I just can't see him doing that.
Yeah.
He's supposed to commentate football games on TV. Like, he already has a contract to do that. So
that makes sense.
I think he will possibly do that when the next football season starts. The Bachelor thing is interesting, though. I hadn't heard that. So, I mean,
and then, but it could
definitely
be...
like revive the show. Like,
oh,
it
for
would get
sure.
A ton
I
of
think
people
that's
watching.
Their thought. Yeah. But that could also just be a lie somebody made up that went viral. But speaking of things that are going viral, have you heard the rumor about the Super Bowl halftime show?
I have not. About Rihanna?
So, no. Taylor Swift. There is a theory that Tay-Tay is going to show up during the performance because she released the notice or whatever about her Midnights album during a Monday Night Football game. And then the Empire State Building apparently has a TikTok. And the TikTok, they released a bunch of things about Taylor Swift singing and how she's going to rise from the ashes because she says that in one of her songs. And then the Eagles colors, they put that on the Empire State Building, but it's green and purple. Well, I know that's not quite their colors,
it's like
but
green and white. Yeah,
but something to do with green and purple, they put on the Empire State Building, and that's also the colors of the Midnights album. So people think she is going to be at the Super Bowl halftime show.
Okay. Very interesting.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah.
But you heard it here first. We're recording on Groundhog Day 2/2/23. Okay.
Okay, we'll see if Taylor Swift shows up at the Super Bowl halftime show. I do think it's weird, though, that we're like less than we're a week and a half away from the Super Bowl, and I have not seen anything about Rihanna's performance.
I know,
I have not heard anything.
Of love
I have not seen any commercials, nothing.
I love it. I think everything is cloaked in secrecy. I think that's either because she's going to bring her baby out on the stage or she's going to be like, my new album drops at midnight. Like, I'm just on pins and needles because I love Rihanna and we're the same age and I have missed her and I'm so excited. I think she's a great pick for a halftime show.
So that's coming up very soon. So we're excited for the Super Bowl. Also the Grammys, by the time you'll hear this, the Grammys will have happened. So we'll have a recap of that on our next episode, I'm sure.
Trevor Noah's hosting.
Once again, did a great job last time. So
love that man.
Yep. Also, speaking of Tom Brady for just a second, that 80 for Brady movie, I have to mention because it just looks real bad.
Except the actresses are fantastic women.
I know. And I'm happy for it to come out because I get bombarded with a trailer for it. Every movie I go see, it doesn't matter what movie it is, there's a trailer for 80 for Brady. So
I cannot, Jared. It's so everyone, it's Lily Tomlin, who's probably my fave, Sally Field, Rita Moreno, and Jane Fonda are the leads.
Like all star cast.
All stars, all of them. And it would be cute if it wasn't about Tom Brady. If it was about, or Gronk, I'd be upset about that too. But if, or what's his name? Aaron Rodgers. Anybody yeah. else, I'd be like, yeah, that's cute. Absolutely. They want to meet Peyton Manning. Of course they want to meet Peyton Manning. But no, it's about freaking.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they picked such like a divisive figure for the movie. Yeah. Like, and I guess it's based on a true story of these old ladies who go to the Super Bowl because they're like, it might be Tom's last year. We got to go see him play. And then, right. spoiler alert, he plays for another 15 years or whatever after they go to the Super Bowl. So, like, he probably played longer than they were alive. So,
yeah.
So, we'll see how that movie is. But I just don't think it's going to be very good. But it's about Tom Brady, and so that's why we bring it up. Maybe he announced his retirement because like the movie's gonna be
true. Maybe
too
that,
great, and he's like, you know what, this wow. is my new career.
Maybe that
movies.
Was the whole purpose of the movie was to announce the retirement. The
retirement. That would be a long planning process, but it kind of makes sense. So
yeah.
Okay, on to recommendations now. We have no corrections. I did finally finish the second season of The White Lotus.
Yes.
I did not enjoy it as much as the first season.
Oh,
I feel like I'm
wow.
in the minority there, maybe.
We are disagreeing.
So I felt like the second season, a lot of the storylines didn't take place at the hotel. And that's kind of like the whole point of the show is like that it's set at a hotel. And the second season, I felt like we just went a lot of different places. Now, I will say I did think they wrapped everything up pretty well in the last episode of the second season.
Yeah.
So I don't know who my favorite characters would be from the second season.
Were you shocked by the death?
I was kind of shocked by the death. That was surprising. I won't spoil it. But I thought Haley Lou Richardson did a great job as Portia.
Yeah.
I thought the Ethan character was pretty good.
Is that that's Adam DeMarco or whatever his name is?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
Loved him. I was really impressed with him. And I don't think I'd seen him in anything else.
Yeah, Aubrey
this.
Plaza's husband in the show. So
no, that's not who I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I was talking about the cute dude that fell in love with the sex worker.
Oh, yes.
He was my I loved him. I couldn't stand Aubrey Plaza or her husband.
I thought her husband was pretty good.
I hated them.
I hated the other couple, Cameron and whatever her name was.
I hated them too, but I liked the wife because she was intriguing to me. I feel like she is someone, she's one of those like Karens that would actually murder somebody and read about it in the paper and be like, that tracks. Like, of course she would do that.
The grandpa was a cool character. He was pretty chill, except he liked to hit on women a little too much. And other than that, Jennifer Coolidge was, you know, still doing the same thing kind of
perfection.
For the first season.
She's perfection.
Yeah. Yep.
What do we want? We don't want anything else from her. She's already giving it the most to us. Also, did you see her acceptance speech was it the Golden Globes?
I think
that was
so.
Adorable. That was adorable. It was a spoiler alert though.
Yes. Oh, okay. Also, third season of Succession comes out March 26th. We didn't mention that. The trailer dropped, though.
I'm going to have to take off work that day.
Well, it's a Sunday, so you'll already
great.
Be free.
Okay. I cannot wait for Succession.
So,
also, you guys, I'm sorry I get so jacked up when we talk about people I don't like. And I hear it, and I sound crazy, and then I'll listen to the playback, and I'm like, I sound crazy, but it's like I can't stop myself from the emotions.
So Succession just a few months away. We know Katie doesn't like Tom Brady.
Right.
And I don't know if I'd call that a recommend. I didn't really watch anything else though, but I finished it. So, I mean, I think it's still a good show. I just didn't like it. I mean, if the first season is like an A for me, the second season is probably a B plus or a B. I mean, it's still a very good season. Okay. It wasn't like I hated it. So, and The Last of Us is now three episodes in. I've been watching that. All three episodes have been good. So
yeah, I don't watch it, but I keep hearing about it.
Yeah.
Well, I have continued Yellowstone. I had to wait. Arjun caught up because I was like, I need to keep going, but I need you to live this journey with me. So we're in season 4, and it's excellent. And also, humble brag, but I got Jared's fiance Allison in on the show. So shout out to Allison. Thank you so much for listening. And then I've also I read I had a great January, will not have a great February reading month, I can tell you right now. But I read a book called The Friend Zone by Abby Jimenez. I raved about a book of hers that I read last year. It was one of my top books of 2022. The Friend Zone is prior to that. She wrote it years ago. It was really cute. There's some very mixed reviews on Goodreads about it, at least from friends I know that have also read the book. I thought it was very cute. It's one of those you can kind of pick up and read it in a couple days. It's a romantic comedy. But I also read The Light We Carry, Overcoming in Uncertain Times by Michelle Obama, and loved it. I will say, in comparison to Becoming, I didn't like it quite as much as Becoming.
Okay.
But it was still excellent. There's such great little snippets of information and knowledge and like good advice to carry you through life. And she is just truly one of the people I most admire in the world. So it was very good. And then also, I've referenced this show before, but if you haven't caught it, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original, was one of my favorite shows of all time. I love it almost as much as Murder, She Wrote. And all the episodes are currently on Hulu. And I thought, what the heck? I might as well just keep watching them, like watch them over again. So I'm doing that right now. I'm kind of doing it like randomly. Right now I'm watching the college years, which weren't as good as high school. But I'm just doing that for fun. But if you love the show like I did, you can watch all of them on Hulu right now.
Very cool. So that's those are some good recommends. I was trying to look up while you were talking about that.
Yeah.
When Barack Obama's, like, you know, his memoir, A Promised Land, is supposed to be two parts. I was trying to find out when the second part was coming out. No word yet. So
okay, I have not read the first. I've read about 10 pages and was like, wow, this is going to take me a while. And I've set it down for several months.
Yeah, I read about half of it so far and then I stopped. It's very, I mean, makes sense. He was a president. It's very politics heavy. So, I mean, there's a lot. It's kind of a dense read. Now, he does a good job of like trying to make it conversational, but it's still a lot of politics, policy, you know, what's going on behind the scenes type things. So you have to be just in that mindset kind of, I think, to read that. So, okay, well, let's move on to our discussion about The Banshees of Inisherin, released on November 4th, and then December 13th, it was streaming. I think it's still on HBO Max, correct?
Yes.
That's where you watched it? Okay, so
On
HBO Max, I'm sure since we said that, they'll take it off next week, because that always
they're probably going to leave it till close to the Oscars.
Till after the Oscars, that's what I would assume. So it's rated R for language throughout, brief graphic nudity, and some violent content. Runtime is 1 hour 49 minutes or 1 hour 54 minutes.
Mandy, we need you. Also,
just got to research.
Also, I feel like the rating should have actually been for brief nudity and some graphic violence. Like, I am surprised they said brief graphic nudity and some violent content. I feel like that was definitely reversed. The nudity was pretty brief. And I think they think it's graphic because it's male full frontal nudity. But
yes,
anyway,
but there is some like graphic violence though in the film as well, for sure, like a lot of it. So
some missing limbs. So
yes, IMDb is a 7.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics is 97%. Audience 76%. Box office wise, domestically, it's made $9.9 million. Worldwide, $33 million. I forget how many Oscars this is nominated for, but it's a decent amount. So
yeah, no idea, but I was going to tell people every actor we talk about today is nominated for an Oscar for this film. Every single one of them, and three of them, all four, it's their first nomination.
Yes, which is like insanely impressive.
Insane. So that's so cool.
I will research how many Oscar nominations it has here in just a second and get that for you. It's a synopsis for this one is about two lifelong friends who find themselves at an impasse when one abruptly ends their relationship with alarming consequences for both of them.
Yes.
So, and obviously the two friends are Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. This is directed by Martin McDonagh. He has done numerous films that you've probably heard of, including In Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, and now Banshees of Inisherin. He's been nominated for 7 Oscars for directing, Best Picture, and Best Original Screenplay. And in 2006, he won Best Short Film Live Action for Six Shooter. He has no upcoming projects listed yet.
And do you know who he's dating?
No, I do not.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Is he? Okay.
Yes! Isn't that so fun?
That is fun. That's kind of interesting. So
I know. I really like it.
Let's see. He's not won any Oscars for like directing or anything, also, screenplay, anything like that. So
also all the movies we mentioned that he directed, he has written those too. So he wrote In Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, all of those. So really impressive. Yes.
And if you're curious, this movie for Academy Awards is nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, two nominees in the Best Supporting Actor category, Best Supporting Actress, Best Original Screenplay, Best Film Editing, and Best Original Score. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 Oscar nominations. So that is quite a lot. So we will take a break here on the show. We'll come back. We'll talk about the cast, a relatively small cast for this movie, and our likes and dislikes for The Banshees of Inisherin. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about The Banshees of Inisherin, Oscar-nominated film for Best Picture, directed by Martin McDonagh. In the lead role, although it's really two co-leads in this movie, but in one of the lead roles is Brendan Gleeson.
Yes, thank you, Jared. Brendan Gleeson plays Colm Doherty. He is originally from Dublin, and I had to mention he is the father of Donal Gleeson, who I have a crush on. If you love the movie About Time, which is one of my favorites ever, he's in that. He's also in some Star Wars movies. You know him. And there are several sons, but they all look similar. They all have like that red hair and look very Irish. Brendan is also known for Calvary, The Guard, and In Bruges. This year, he's nominated for his first ever Oscar. He, again, is nominated for Best Supporting Actor for this film. And then next up, you can see him in A Greyhound of a Girl and Joker, Folie à Deux, which, again, is that Joker continuation story. So I think that'll be very interesting.
I think so, too. So, yeah, the Joker movie with him, Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
It's going to be Joaquin, obviously. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure.
Very exciting. So. Then we have Colin Farrell. He plays Patrick. I think it's Suliban. Is that, I think that's how he said it.
I think so.
It runs together. I think the Irish accent is beautiful. I cannot do it. But Patrick is a nice way of saying Patrick. Which I was going to be named if I were a boy, just so you all know. My family's very Irish, and that was the top pick for me. So Colin is definitely a reformed bad boy of Hollywood. I've seen so many interviews with him lately about this movie, and they all like start that, like he was a bad boy of Hollywood. Anyway, but he's doing much better. I do believe he is actually sober, which I think is interesting. I really admire any actors, too, who decide to live a sober lifestyle when they like voluntarily choose to do so. Anyway, he is also from Dublin, and fun fact, Colin and Brendan are truly great friends in real life. They have a fairly significant age difference, but they are truly about as close as you would imagine they would be based on In Bruges and then this movie before the friendship ends. Colin is best known for The Lobster, In Bruges, SWAT, and The Batman. Next up, you can see him in Love Child, Sugar, and The Penguin. This is also his first Oscar nomination, but he's nominated for Best Actor for this film.
Also, Fantastic Beasts, of course, which is just an amazing movie.
Oh, who is he in that?
So, he plays Percival in that movie. So
he was also in Alexander. That was when he started to get really famous, but everyone said that movie sucked.
Oh, and the second season of True Detective, which
that's a good point.
Not very good. So,
yeah, that one wasn't great. next up, we have, I had to mention Carrie Condon because everybody is loving her. She plays Siobhan. If anybody ever wonders, it's the only Irish name I figured out. S-I-O-B-H-A-N. That is Siobhan, just like as in Succession. She plays the sister to Colin Farrell in this film. She is also from Ireland. Carrie is known for the TV series Rome and also Better Call Saul. And she was also in Avengers Infinity War and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Next up, she will be in Night Swim and also In the Land of Saints and Sinners. This is her first acting Oscar nomination, and she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And lastly, I wanted to mention Barry Keoghan, who we have mentioned on previous episodes. He is a supporting cast member, but he steals every scene he's in this film. But he's also nominated for an Oscar this year. And and he was also in The Batman, wasn't he?
I believe so.
That was him at the end, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. But very excited for all these people. And I think Jared and I differ a little bit on our opinion of this movie. But regardless, it should say a lot that all the major actors in this film are nominated for Oscars.
Yes, he was in The Batman.
I thought so.
Eternals.
Yep.
Dunkirk.
Yes.
So, yeah, lots of films
yes.
that he's been in and some television shows as well. So, okay, on to our likes and dislikes for this movie. Also, we probably do have some spoilers coming up.
Yeah.
Just with the story and everything. So if you haven't seen this yet and want to watch it and then come back and listen to the rest of this, feel free. First up, for a like, the acting is obviously superb. It got 4 acting nominations for the Academy Awards. Everybody, as Katie said, is nominated for an Oscar in this movie that is in a lead role. So that's definitely a testament to how well the actors did in this film. Everybody just gives really solid performances all around.
Yeah, I felt like there wasn't a false note in this movie. Also, it's one of those movies where I didn't look at the actors and saw the actors. I saw the people they were portraying, and I don't think that happens very often. So I was really impressed with that. And all of them were interesting. Like, I wasn't upset if Colin wasn't on the screen and I was listening to his sister, or like whenever Barry showed up, I was like, oh, here this kid goes again. And all the supporting people were interesting as well. But the 4 of them were just spectacular. And I found their portrayals so engaging and so believable that I didn't think they were actors. I thought they were truly their characters.
Yeah, I think some of that has to do, too, with the fact that none of these actors are like, I don't know, like high-level A-list actors. So I think, now, obviously, Martin McDonagh wanted everybody that, you know, from an Irish descent to be in this movie. So that makes a lot of sense. But I think the other thing that helps is, like, you're not watching Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or somebody like that in this film that, like, is very hard to distinguish them from the role that they're playing. Tom Hanks, somebody like that. So I think that helps as well to have everybody kind of that's a B-level actor in this film, because you can get lost in those performances a little more.
Yeah. And you bring up there, you made me think of 2 really good points. The fact that they were all Irish, I think, really lent itself to this. Things that they say, like sayings, like they would say, like the way they would end sentences, or the way, you know, how a lot of Americans would say, you know, things like I just did it, but things like that, we would say the Irish have their own way of doing that. They just have different words they use. And I also think part of Martin McDonagh's genius is using people who have chemistry together. So partly as an actor, I would be so sad. I'd be like, well, he doesn't even know me, and he always puts the same people in films, so I don't have a chance. But at the same time, like, he has a formula of people that works really well, and their chemistry comes across the screen. So it was just very believable and natural.
Another like for me would definitely be Barry's performance. I thought he was very funny throughout this whole movie, especially this scene where he's trying to hit on Carrie Condon's character, which happens a few times throughout the movie. But there's one scene where they're like standing near this lake or whatever, and he's asking her if he, you know, she would go on a date with him. And it's very sweet, but also funny at the same time. So,
yeah. When you mention him, I didn't put this as a dislike because of the time period, it totally fits. So this movie is like during the Irish Civil War, which I think was at 1920s or something. 1914? It was something. Would you mind looking that up, Jared?
Yeah.
It was during the Irish Civil War, but Barry is getting abused by his dad. Like, it's a full blown, like, his father is physically abusing his son. And no one in the town seems to care very much, or like someone punches his lights out once and they consider the situation handled. That's so not what we would do, hopefully, in 2023. But I do think for the time period, it makes sense that people reacted the way they did. His father is also a police officer, so he kind of can like strong arm people in the town. So I didn't put that as a dislike, but I just wanted to note that I didn't care for the fact that nobody seemed to be very bothered by this clear abuse situation.
So this is set at the very end of the Irish Civil War,
which
ended in 1923.
Oh, good. So, okay. I thought it was 1920s.
Early 20s is when it's set. So
cool.
Another like I had is that I like that it's a story about friendship. Normally, you don't get a lot of movies about you know, you have mm-hmm. movies where people are friends, obviously, but not where like a friendship or a shattered friendship is at the center of the movie. So I thought that was interesting. Also thought it was an interesting decision to not have any romantic relationships in this movie either, because that could have been an easy trope to kind of write. I mean, they could have made Colin Farrell's character have a wife, or Brendan Gleeson's character have a wife for that matter. And they did not in this film. So you just have Colin Farrell's sister, and it's not really explained a ton, like what happened, you know, why they are both single really, but you don't really need it for this story, because it's more about, like I said, the friendship. That's the centerpiece. So
yeah, I think a lot of this movie was kind of shrouded in mystery. Like I agree with you, you don't know why people are single, you don't know really what happened to cause this fallout between the friends, but I agree with you, Jared. I really liked that it was about friendship. I especially related to this. I think I liked this because at this time in my life I feel some friendships really shifting, and that can be both good and bad. But I am an anxious person, and I worry about people not liking me, and I always, you know, think it's me, or what have I done, or was there a singular event that caused this? So I think this happening to people is actually a very real thing that happens in life, where friendships kind of, the dynamic changes or they dissolve. So I thought that was a brilliant idea and such a simplistic idea. But it kept me, I was so interested in what was going on. But I agree with you. I also like that there wasn't a love story.
And you see a lot of that with Colin Farrell's character too, because he's kind of the one, because Brendan Gleeson's character is the one that's like, I'm ending the friendship. Like, we're done. So Colin Farrell throughout the whole movie is like, why is he doing this? Why is he mad at me? What can I do to possibly restore the relationship? All of that, all of those thoughts are kind of going through his head, and he discusses that with other people in the film, like Carrie Condon, and things like that. While we're going through, he's trying to process that as well. Like, what did I do to make him upset and make him mad? So, you mentioned the simplistic story. That's a like, I think, and a dislike for me as well, which I'll mention a little bit later on. But it is very simple to follow, and it's a easy storyline to know what's going on throughout the whole thing. And then also the location was great as well. Of course, it's just beautiful, all the scenery in this movie. Yeah.
Yes, the location was stunning to me. And I also, this is not a negative. It didn't even occur to me we weren't in modern times until about halfway through the film. I was surprised because there's bombing and stuff happening on like the mainland. And I thought, well, that's weird. Maybe there's a war going on that I don't know about in the world. But it didn't occur to me, even with their costumes. I just thought maybe this is just this small town in Ireland. I haven't been to Ireland. I don't know. But nobody was looking at phones or anything, and there weren't a lot of modern conveniences, but I didn't even think it was because it was a different time period. I thought they were just kind of like a way, it looked idyllic to me. I was like, this is so cool that they are so separated from the world that I'm living in daily with all these screens in front of us and modern stuff. But I loved how simplistic the film was. That was another thing. I think I liked that more than you did, Jared, which is perfectly fine. But I liked the simplicity because I think often where a lot of movies go awry these days, it's because they're trying to fit too much in. We saw that with Babylon. We saw that with Don't Worry, Darling. Like, people are trying to fit 18 storylines into something. And sometimes you can't get everything across. So I personally enjoyed how simple it was. And I was surprised. Well, I was shocked that the storyline was simply a friendship's dissolving and that was it. And I was interested the entire time.
Also, another like is there's lots of animals in this movie, which is cool. So that's fun to see. Colin Farrell has a donkey. So
that's Jenny.
So that's kind of a fun little relationship. And obviously that would be a thing that they would have in Ireland during the 20s, because he was using it to, milk? Is that what he was like selling?
I think so. But he also really wanted, only because Jared saw this longer. I saw this recently and he saw it a while ago. I don't even know if it was just for milk, but she was like his best friend and she kept coming in the house and his sister kept getting mad. She was like, no, Jenny can't come in the house. And he was like, oh, just for tonight, Siobhan. And, you know, he would try to sneak her in all the time. And I just thought that was so cute. It was like she was an enormous dog. And she's also, I think, a mini donkey. What was she? I think she's a mini donkey.
Okay. That would make sense.
I'll Google what is Jenny.
Okay. Anyway. So do you have any other likes before we move on to dislikes?
No, that's, I was right. It's a miniature donkey. Okay.
Okay.
And no animals were harmed during the making of the film. We should say that too. But no, I really liked the animal aspect. And again, I know I said this word, but I just think the whole setting was idyllic. The fact that they just talked to animals and went and had a pint at 2 p.m. every day. I was like, wow, this is a life I could get behind.
So on to dislikes now. I think a dislike for me is that, I don't know, I just didn't really connect to the story for whatever reason. Obviously, I've had friendships that have kind of, as you said, as you get older, move different ways in your life. That's definitely been a thing that's happened. So it's relatable, but I don't know why I didn't connect to the movie. When I watched it, I wasn't really enjoying it. I found it kind of boring at parts. And I think that has to do with the simple plot, is I just wanted maybe something more to happen, maybe one more storyline in there or something. Because I just thought, okay, so this is the whole movie. And there's a lot of sequences where it's just kind of slowly moving along. The plot is just kind of slowly advancing. Yeah. I think maybe that was my main dislike, is that I was just kind of bored with it at times. The performances were good. The script was pretty good, but I just think it could have maybe even had, you mentioned it, it's simple, but I think it could have maybe even had more in there, or like a second storyline or something that was maybe another character or two, something that was going on in addition to the severed friendship. So,
well, and I did think something that was interesting that I think kind of was, I think there were a couple side things, like Barry's relationship with his dad seemed to be kind of an interesting side storyline, but I get you, that's not a main, but I thought that was interesting. And I was also interested in Siobhan's story, how Siobhan actually decides to leave because she's not fulfilled in her job or life or anything that's going on. So she leaves. And I thought that was interesting. So to me, there was more going on. One thing I did relate to it. I think that's why I liked it more, because a lot of my friendships or relationships that have changed, I think, is partially because I'm a little older, and also because a lot of women, you know, now people have decided to either not get married or get married, have kids or don't have kids. There's also been a lot of political things going on in the world that I didn't expect, but since like 2016, our world has vastly changed. So I think there's just been a lot of weird things that have happened, in addition to some people becoming moms, some people getting married, some people moving to other countries, things like that, that just change dynamics in my relationships, that I could see why that's maybe affecting me in a different way. And then I was going to say one thing, my likes, dislikes are pretty small, but one, I didn't love that we never really know what caused the rift. Like, there's kind of just, Colm says, I don't really like you anymore. I just don't like you. You're boring. But I would think there would be like an event that kind of ignited this anger and this dissolution of friendship. But I don't think there was an event like that.
Yeah, maybe that's another reason why I disliked it, is because there's not a lot of backstory on the characters.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, this conflict happens right at the beginning of the movie, and you're kind of like, but why? Like, right. Why are you not friends anymore? What happened? Was there a big event? You know, they don't really tell you any of that in the film in terms of why Brendan Gleeson has decided not to be friends with Colin Farrell anymore. So I think maybe a little bit of setup possibly before that incident happens, even if it's like 10 or 15 minutes of them being like enjoying themselves together or doing something. And then maybe like pretty early in the film still, but maybe there comes a point when that conversation happens. And so it has more of like an impact, but the movie just really starts with like them being like, you know, we're not going to be friends anymore. So I just think, like you said, I think to figure out why that was happening or what the reason for that was, maybe would have been better.
Well, and Colin's character seems genuinely remorseful and sad and really sweet, like in his approach to kind of win his friendship back. And it seems like Brendan Gleeson's character is just really cutthroat and mean. So that was kind of surprising to me, too. I was just like, what are you so angry about, bro?
Yeah, exactly. So also, this movie doesn't really have a happy ending. The whole movie is kind of depressing, but the ending is sad. Like the this is spoilers, but the pet donkey Jenny dies. Brendan Gleeson's house gets set on fire.
Barry dies.
Yeah. So all that stuff happens near the end of the movie.
Yeah. Also, Barry, I couldn't tell. I don't know if he fell into the water and was drunk and he drowned, or if his dad killed him.
Yeah, I don't really know if that was...
I don't know that I put that together.
Yeah, I don't know what the reasoning for that was either.
Yeah, but they find him in the... Actually, I don't think his dad did it, because his dad looks so shocked and sad when he sees him. So I don't even think it's a suicide situation. I think it was an accident. But it's devastating, because at this point, even if you're annoyed with Barry's character, you're sad to see him die. He's a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... Yeah, you just kind of see him floating in the lake there, like near the end of the movie. But you're right, there's real no explanation of like how he got there. Yes. So. And then another dislike is this movie is very violent, and Martin McDonagh shows you that violence. Brendan Gleeson's character, so basically like one of the big plot points throughout the movie is that every time Colin Farrell's character tries to talk to him or bother him, he's going to cut off one of his fingers with a pair of like shears. And that does happen multiple times throughout the movie where he will cut off one of his fingers. So you see that. There's other things that happen later on in the movie too that are pretty violent, but the violence in this movie is pretty graphic. So
yeah, and it was a bit much for me. I mean, once I knew, the minute he mentioned the finger thing, I was like, well, he's going to do it. Like, I didn't question it. So seeing it initially wasn't that bad. But when he kept doing it, I was bothered. The bloody stump, when he tries to play his violin with the hand, I was just like, this is a bit much for me. So it's not like it was bad. And all of Martin's movies, it seems like, have definitely elements of violence in there. But yeah, that was a lot. And then kind of coinciding with that, we mentioned the nudity earlier. I don't know how necessary that was. I wasn't offended by it. And in fact, actually, I was watching it on such a small screen because I watched it on my phone. For a minute, I couldn't tell the guy was naked. I was like, is he naked? Like, I couldn't tell, but I wasn't going to zoom in. but that's the soundbite. Anyway.
I couldn't tell if the guy was naked, but you know, I wasn't going to zoom in.
You know, sometimes I say that's a soundbite and I don't use it as the soundbite. But anyway, I didn't zoom in, but I was like, is he naked? And I couldn't tell. But anyway, everyone. So Barry's dad is a drunk. He's also a police officer. And he just drinks in the night and then passes out from it. And so he was probably masturbating. That's what we're led to believe. But passed out. during or shortly thereafter. And Barry walks in and he's with Colin and they see his dad and they're just there to steal the alcohol. But I thought, like, it's kind of funny, but I don't know that he needed to be full blown naked. And I don't know that we needed to see his nudity for 2 minutes. Like, it's so long. So I don't think it was necessary. I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm not going to dock it major points, but I also just thought, like, seeing one finger cut off was enough for me, not 10. And then I don't know that I need to see that guy's manhood. Like, I got the picture. I got the vision just from the description.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. So are we ready to move on to our scores?
Yes. Thank you so much. Okay. I don't remember who's first.
I don't know. We say this every week. We should.
I know. Actually, I think it was me last week because it was Otto. I think it was me for Otto.
Okay. Okay. So
I'm
let's first.
Go with you. Yeah. Okay. I've already got my score, but.
I did not love this movie. I don't know why. It just didn't really connect with me very much. I thought the story was very simplistic. There's one movie every year in the group of Best Picture nominees that for some reason I just don't like.
Me too.
There's like one every year. So I think this is probably going to be the one this year, but still a decent, I'm going to, you know, not give it a horrible grade, but I'm going to come in at a 65 for this one. So,
okay.
I mean, I liked the acting. Yeah. Yeah. I liked the performances, but it was just very boring to me throughout the course of this movie. And maybe I should rewatch it. I don't know if I like it better on the second watch, but I just did not really enjoy it. So
I think this is one of the most different scores we've ever given, though. I'm going with a 90 for this one.
Okay.
This is not a movie I could watch all the time, but I so appreciate the dialogue, the acting, the scenery. the simplicity. I related to the story. And it's definitely one that even I saw this probably 2.5 weeks ago. And I very clearly am remembering things like Jenny's a miniature dog. I'm remembering these side plots and storylines and stuff, which means it really stuck with me. So I just thought it was really good. I'm glad to see it in the Best Picture nominations. I don't think it's going to win, and I don't think it should win, but I do think it was very, very good. And again, just the acting is exceptional in this film.
Also, one complaint that I have seen that is not a complaint for me, but I've seen this in like audience reviews and stuff, is that people thought this movie was going to be funny, and it ends up being pretty depressing and sad.
Yeah, not funny, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not real. I mean, it's funny in some parts, but it's not really like a comedy, like a laugh out loud comedy. So I think, I don't know if that was due to the marketing or the way the film's, you know, genre specified or whatever, but I've seen that complaint a lot where people are like, I thought this was going to be funny and I watched it and it was depressing. So I didn't love it because of that reason. Like, I wanted a movie that was going to maybe pick me up a little bit, and this just brought me down. So
That's fair.
So those are our thoughts on The Banshees of Inisherin, and you can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook to find us there. Our Letterboxd profiles are in the description for the show in the notes, so just click on those and you'll be able to follow us on Letterboxd. And next time, it's another Best Picture nominee. Neither of us have seen this one yet, but it appears to be a movie where it's just people talking for a lot of the movie, because it's called
Women Talking.
And from what I've heard, most of it takes place like in a barn and it's just talking. So we'll see if it's good or not. I mean, I always go into every movie with, you know, I never like judge before I go see a movie. So but I think this I think this one, the script is going to have to be really good and the performances are going to have to be really good. Otherwise, it might be another one that is kind of boring
nominated,
for me.
It's nominated for Best Picture. I feel like it has to be good. And when you look at the actresses in it, you're like, well, yeah, it probably is.
I know. It's the Frances McDormand project for this year.
I know.
So.
Good Lord. Every year this woman gets us. I don't hate her. I'm just kind of, I just think she is so unique. And unique
she just picks the most interesting movies.
Yes. She is an interesting woman. Yes.
So also in this one, Claire Foy, Jesse Buckley, Rooney Mara. So yeah, solid cast. So that'll be next week's show, talking about Women Talking.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.